The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at midnight, May 19th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Donald Trump has got the gun!
No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning into my show, K Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. Ah, what a week. On Monday, the WAPO reported that Donald shared highly classified information with the Russian foreign minister and ambassador during a meeting at the White House. On Tuesday, the New York Times revealed that Donald had asked Comey in February to stop investigating ousted National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Quote, "I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go. To letting Flynn go," unquote. And then, on Wednesday night, the Justice Department appointed Special Prosecutor, former FBI Director Robert Mueller, to lead the investigation into the Trump campaign's contacts with Russia. Ah, this week saw the emergence of two remarkable charges against the president, and the appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate the Donald's campaign's possible collusion with Moscow. It's been a drip, drip, drip for months. And this week, it seems people turned on the tap. We still have a ways to go before the levee breaks, but I'm daring to look for a light at the end of the Trump tunnel. Unfortunately, the GOP, the big money-funded politics, which infects the Democrats as well, the partisan divide and so on still remains. Which brings us to an important conversation we in the resistance need to have. Is the resistance, an anti-Trump resistance, prepped to flame out and return to the status quo as the Occupy movement did? Or is it something more?
Today in America, we are the only major country on earth that doesn't guarantee health care to all people, that doesn't guarantee paid family and medical leave. We have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country on earth. We are seeing millions of families unable to send their kids to college in the United States of America. I do believe we need a political revolution where millions of people stand up and say loudly and clearly that our government belongs to all of us and not just a handful of wealthy campaign contributors. Thank you all.
Is this a political revolution? Are we here to fight past Trump and finally demand true change of the system that has forgotten and neglected the people? Or is this the beginning of the end for Donald as well as the beginning of the end for the resistance? We have some soul searching to do.
I'm now back to being an activist citizen and part of the resistance.
Hillary Clinton, who has joined the resistance, has launched Onward Together to encourage people to get involved, organize, and even run for office. Swing Left, Run for Something, and Emerge America have already received funding. Onward Together's mission reads, "By encouraging people to organize, get involved, and run for office, Onward Together will advance progressive values and work to build a brighter future for generations to come." Citizen engagement at every level is central to a strong and vibrant democracy. In recent months, we have seen what is possible when people come together to resist bullying, hate, falsehoods, dismissives, and stand up for a fairer and more inclusive America. From the Women's March to airports where communities are welcoming immigrants and refugees, to town hall meetings in every community, Americans are speaking up and speaking out like never before. The challenges we face as a country are real, but there is no telling what we can achieve if we approach these fights ahead with the passion and determination we feel today and bring that energy into 2017, 2018, 2020, and beyond, onward. Quote, "If you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together," unquote. Proverb. The resistance will benefit greatly from the fundraising powers of the Clintons. Not to bring everybody down, but on Thursday, H.R. 115, the Thin Blue Line Act, passed 271-143, expanding the crimes that qualify for the death penalty. I hate this punitive, blood-hungry Congress. This is a sad day for America. This day we say goodbye as we mourn the passing of our free and open internet. They did it! The Federal Communications Commission voted 2-1 on Thursday to start the process of eliminating net neutrality rules. This is the beginning of an end of our free and open internet. Ars Technica reports that the chairman of the SEC, Ajit Pai, titled his plan Restoring Internet Freedom. Clyburn, the dissenting vote, who unsurprisingly is a Democrat, gave Ajit's plan an alternate name, Destroying Internet Freedom. Clyburn said that the plan, quote, contains hollow theory of trickle-down internet economics, suggesting that if we remove enough regulations from your broadband provider that they will automatically improve your service, pass along the discounts from those speculative savings, deploy more infrastructure with haste, and treat edge providers fairly. It contains ideological interpretive whiplash, boldly proposing to gut the very same consumer and competition protections that have been twice upheld by the courts. If you unequivocally trust that your broadband provider will always put the public's interest over their own self-interest or the interest of their stockholders, then Destroying Internet Freedom, NPRM, is for you. Unquote. Title II, which is what Pi is rolling back, was used to require greater disclosures from hidden fees and data caps. More generally, Title II allows either ISP customers or their competitors to file complaints about unjust or unreasonable conduct. All of that will go away once ISPs are no longer classified as common carriers. The FCC last year also used Title II to impose strict broadband privacy rules that were eliminated by Republicans in Congress and the Donald before they could be implemented. There is a small amount of hope for consumers in that eliminating the common carrier classification could give the Fair Trade Commission authority to regulate ISPs and enforce its rules against unfair deceptive practices. So, where do we come in? One thing that could end the net neutrality debate is congressional action. I know, little hope here. See, one proposal from Senate Republicans called the Restoring Internet Freedom Act, which is in committee, would prohibit the Federal Communications Commission from ever again using the Title II authority that allowed the FCC to impose net neutrality rules. Other Republicans in Congress, surprisingly, actually support net neutrality legislation. So, this may be a fight we can still win. So our call to action is to call our senators and tell them in no uncertain terms to reject the Internet Freedom Act and to support internet neutrality. All right, enough of that. This issue drives me nuts because I find it so boring and yet so important. We have to call our representatives. There was an incident on Tuesday that has me really riled up. It's what the police are calling a savage beating. A new video surfaced on Thursday that shows President Erdogan of Turkey looking on as armed members of his security team violently charge a group of peaceful protesters outside the Turkish ambassador's residence. Outside of his residence in D.C., it's bad enough that our president welcomed the human rights abuser, President Erdogan, with open fawning arms into the White House so that he could gaze with love upon yet another authoritarian strongman. But now, Erdogan looks on as his own security savagely beats peaceful protesters in Washington, D.C.? U.S. police arrested two men, one from Virginia and one from New York. They say they're pursuing charges against additional suspects. 11 people were injured, among them a police officer. Some were kicked and stomped and their heads were bloodied. I've posted the Washington Post story on my Facebook page, K Voice of Resistance. They include the video, which is disturbing to watch. The White House, unsurprisingly, has been silent on the issue. Is this where we are now? Is this what we are? A country who celebrates a man who would encourage and sanction such brutality on protesters? That our president would applaud the man and have no words for those who were violently denied their free speech on our own soil? Is this who we are?
Basic! Don't break it! Basic! Don't break it! 14 cent olive oil.
Don't move.
Get back!
Our fight to save healthcare is still blazing. As Trump Ryan Care aimed to cut Medicaid by $88 billion, the reality of our situation is dire. Medicaid is 52 years old. According to Medicaid.gov, Medicaid provides health coverage to more than 4.6 million low-income seniors, nearly all of whom are also enrolled in Medicare. Medicaid also provides coverage to 3.7 million people with disabilities who are enrolled in Medicare. A total of 8.3 million people are eligible and enrolled in both Medicaid and Medicare, composing more than 17% of all Medicaid enrollees. Over the course of 2014, Medicaid provided quality health coverage for 80 million low-income Americans. In any given month, Medicaid served 31 million children, 19 million adults, mostly low-income working parents, 5 million seniors, and 9 million persons with disabilities, according to the Congressional Budget Office estimates. According to the Center for Budget Policy Relations, Medicaid has cut dramatically the number of Americans without health insurance. Since the implementation of health reform's major coverage expansions in 2014, thank you, Obama, Medicaid and the new health markets have helped to cut the number of uninsured Americans from 43 million to 26 million. A landmark study of Oregon's Medicaid program found that beneficiaries were 40% less likely to have suffered a decline in their health in the last 6 months than similar people without health insurance coverage. They also are likely to use preventative care, such as cholesterol screenings, to have regular clinics where they could receive primary care, and to receive diagnoses of and treatment for depression and diabetes. Medicaid lifted 2.6 million people out of poverty in 2010. The program cut poverty most among adults with disabilities, children, seniors, African Americans, and Hispanics. Research from Oregon's Medicaid program also shows that beneficiaries were 40% less likely to go into medical debt or leave other bills unpaid in order to cover medical expenses, and that Medicaid coverage nearly eliminated catastrophic out-of-pocket medical costs. Research shows children who are eligible for Medicaid do better in school, miss fewer school days due to illness or injury. They are also likelier to finish high school, attend college, and graduate from college. Kids who are eligible for Medicaid earn more as adults and experience fewer emergency room visits and hospitalizations. Medicaid is cost-effective. Medicaid's cost per beneficiary are substantially lower and have been growing more slowly than for private insurance. See, Medicaid provides more comprehensive benefits than private insurance at a significantly lower out-of-pocket cost to beneficiaries. But its lower payment rates to healthcare providers and lower administrative costs make the program very efficient. Of course, not all Medicaid is created equally. Medicaid gives states flexibility to design their own programs. The federal government sets minimum standards, including the categories of people that all states must cover. Beyond that, states set their own rules, including whom they cover, what benefits they provide, and how they deliver healthcare services. As a result, Medicaid eligibility varies substantially from state to state. Sorry, red states. I feel for you. Health reform's Medicaid expansion is saving states money. Hospitals in expansion states are treating fewer uninsured patients, and the amount of uncompensated care they are providing has declined steeply. Meanwhile, hospitals in the red states who have not expanded Medicaid continue to provide large amounts of uncompensated care, and the states are missing an opportunity to leverage billions of dollars in new federal funding through the expansion. Medicaid expansion also supports work. Charges that healthcare reform discourages poor families from working simply don't match up in reality. In states that have adopted health care reform's Medicaid expansion, poor parents can earn substantially more money and retain their Medicaid coverage. Trump Ryan Care and the majority of the Republicans in Congress believe that some people are just worth more than others. So do the good guys have an answer to what is bound to be a dismal health care bill? Yes. H.R. 626. Expanded and Improved Medicare for All Act. This bill establishes the Medicare for All program to provide all individuals residing in the United States and U.S. territories with free health care. That includes all medically necessary care, such as primary care and prevention, dietary and nutritional therapies, prescription drugs, emergency care, long-term care, mental health services, dental services, and vision care. Patients may choose from participating physicians and institutions. The program is funded from 1. Existing sources of government revenues for healthcare, 2. By increasing personal income taxes on the top 5% of income earners. Sorry, guys. And 3. By instituting a progressive excise tax on payroll and self-employment income. 4. By instituting a tax on unearned income. And 5. By instituting a tax on stock and bond transactions. Amounts that would have been appropriated for federal public health care programs, including Medicare, Medicaid, and the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, are transferred and appropriated to carry this bill. The bill also establishes a National Board of Universal Quality and Access to provide advice on quality, access, and affordability. And then the Indian Health Service will be integrated into the program after 5 years. See, all parts of H.R. 676 are important to assure that the economic barriers to care are improved and guarantee the economic savings that will be used to expand care and improve it for all of us. There are no co-pays, no premiums, no deductibles under H.R. 676. H.R. 676 is free at the point of service, bringing wide open the door to care for even the poorest. H.R. 676 provides for ending the for-profit hospitals and institutions, which will be converted to non-profit entities. This is crucial, for all the data shows that for-profit hospitals cost us more, yet have higher death rates. Let us not leave a loophole through which hospitals can include their deadly pursuit of profits to the detriment of patients. H.R. 676 was originally introduced in 2003 and has been reintroduced time and time again to no avail. But a shift is happening in America, and polls show an overwhelming support for single payer. Improved Medicare for All. An April 2017 poll by The Economist shows that 60% favor of expanding Medicare to provide health insurance to every American. Only 23 oppose it. And yes, that's even 40% of those who voted for Donald. The wind is at our backs. This single-payer legislation is soaring across the country at town hall meetings and demonstrations where people are raising the demand to move forward in covering all the people, ending the outrageous cost, and freeing healthcare from the control of insurance and pharmaceutical companies. H.R. 676 is the legislation that accomplishes just that. Keep working to get your representative to sign on to H.R. 676. This bill has 110 co-sponsors, which is amazing. If they have signed on, encourage them to boldly and publicly support H.R. 676 to indicate their support on their website and speak out on the House floor for it. The phone number is 202-224-3121. Again, that's 202-224-3121. One more time, that's 202-224-3121.
It's incumbent upon the president to pick a new FBI director that we can rally around.
You want him to not be a Republican right. partisan, and you want him, frankly, not to be necessarily a Trump supporter. You want him to be somebody who says, I'm going to enforce the law, and I'm going to be a straight shooter and let the facts fall where they fall.
Good experience working in law enforcement, somebody of impeccable reputation and independence.
All right. Let's talk about the Fuhrer in Chief's choice to lead the FBI. Joe Lieberman. Joe Lieberman is a politician with no credentials in law enforcement who has been alive since the Paleozoic age, who was a longtime Democratic senator. Yay! Who was the first to come out against Bill Clinton in the Monica Lewinsky scandal? He was Al Gore's running mate in 2000. He later turned independent in order to keep his Senate seat in 2006.
Oh no!
After serving the Democratic Party for years, Lieberman spoke at the 2008 Republican National Convention, still as an independent, on behalf of then-presidential candidate John McCain. Boo! He endorsed Hillary Clinton. And lastly, Lieberman currently works with a firm that represented Air Trump before he became president. So I don't know. Could be worse, could be better. Well, we are talking about politicians. This guy.
Well, I don't know that a special counsel is warranted at this point. I have not seen the direct full evidence of an actual crime.
Absolutely. And that's part of the challenge, is that you don't do mammograms. So if you...
Go ahead. I'm sorry,
You don't do mammograms, correct? There's like one or two places that doesn't, but you don't get mammograms.
If you would give me one moment to explain, sure. Planned Parenthood is a women's health center, just like everywhere I go for my friends.
Is it true that you voted to cut the funding for embassy security?
Absolutely. Look, we have to make priorities and choices in this country. And we're talking about, can we get 24 or so people into Libya to help protect our forces? When you're in tough economic times, you have to make difficult choices.
Okay,
you have to prioritize
things. So you're prioritizing. So when there are complaints that, in fact, that there was not enough security, you've just said absolutely that you cut. You were the one to vote against, you know, to increase security for the State Department, which would lead directly to Benghazi. That seems like you're saying you have a hand in the responsibility to this.
Who also said this.
And you know what? Americans have choices, and they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and they want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest it in their own health care. They've got to make those decisions themselves.
Boo! You suck!
The Benghazi zealot, Planned Parenthood shark who doesn't know how graphs work, the partisan coward who refuses to do his job and provide oversight of our president and his cronies, chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, Utah Republican Jay's son Chaffetz, is leaving Congress on June 30th. And then there's this guy, who sadly is not saying goodbye.
This anti-cop sentiment from this hateful ideology called Black Lives Matter has fueled this rage against the American police officer. I want to know, with all of the black-on-black violence in the United States of America, that law enforcement officers treat black males different than white males in policing in these urban
centers. There is data that's...
There is not data. The other day when he said black males are 2 times more likely to be shot by a law enforcement officer than white males. Don, that is a lie.
You suck!
That was the Democrat, which I say in air quotes, Sheriff David Clark. In an interview with Don Lemon, Clark said he predicted the Baton Rouge shootings, where 3 officers were killed and 3 were wounded, 2 years before it happened. He's a critic of Black Lives Matter and has spoken of a second American revolution in defense of guns. He runs a county jail responsible for detainee deaths, including a newborn baby and a mentally ill person deprived of water for 7 days. He then suggested that they were to blame for their own deaths. He tweets to work with Donald's administration to aggressively round up and expel immigrants living in Wisconsin. He endorses destructive policing tactics like race-based rampant stop and frisk that violates the Constitution, incentivizes racial profiling, and undermines community trust in local law enforcement. He faced court-ordered improvements to the county jails and acceptable basic health conditions, which he then refused to take seriously. He repeatedly responds to his critics by threatening violence. How charming. And he declared, "There is no police brutality in America." which is laughable in its face. And he maligned citizens protesting police brutality as subhuman creeps. You may be wondering if he has been sued by the ACLU. That would be a yes. Well, this 6'3 racist, self-hating black man was just promoted by our very own racist Russian-appointed czar-in-chief as the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Partnership and Engagement.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to make something very clear. Blue lives matter in America. And no group of people, despite the fervor with which they press forward their grievances, can claim privilege above the law. It cannot happen in the United States.
Okay, something less depressing. I just heard about Betsy Riot, and I'm so bummed I wasn't tuned into them before. Betsy Riot is awesome. This is from their website. A Betsy is an unapologetic feminist patriot who has fucking had enough of Trump culture and gun culture and the death and terror they inflict on America. It is a nonviolent act of civil disobedience against fascism, Trump, or gun culture. Verb. Past tense, Betsied, to prank, lambast, and generally fuck up right-wing gun-licking bullshit. That riot of Betsies Betsied the shit out of the gun show. The NRA convention Betsy Riot circled the convention area, featuring the Betsy Riot's irreverent take on the key NRA talking point, stating, quote, "You're not a good guy with a gun, you're a frightened boy with a gun fetish," unquote, next to a cartoonish figure with a gun. And they also flew an aerial banner bearing the message, NRA equals murder lobby, XOXO, Betsy Riot. I love them, check it out. On my Facebook page, K-Voice of Resistance. You know how I discussed ACT UP last episode? The International Direct Action Advocacy Group, formed in 1987 to fight for the lives of people with AIDS and bring attention to the AIDS pandemic, to bring about legislation, medical research, and treatment and policies to ultimately bring an end to disease by mitigating the loss of health and lives. They were very successful. They got the attention of Congress and health agencies and affected change in a big way. See, they were disruptive and often shocking. For example, they unfurled a giant condom engulfing the virulently anti-gay Jesse Helms home. They were non-violent but disruptive. They got press and they made themselves heard. Who are the brave ones and the clever ones among us who will take this kind of action? Let's get serious and let's think big and let's get noticed.
Are you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind, your mind, your mind.
If you're looking to filter your news through some angry, foul-mouthed, funny liberals, catch Patrick Vile and Ryan Pfeiffer 5 days a week from 2 to 4 on their show, Crab Diving. That's one word, C-R-A-B-D-I-V-I-N-G, on the Crab Diving Network at crabdiving.com. You can also get their show and mine as a podcast on your favorite podcasting app. You can find me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice or on Facebook at K-Voice of Resistance. I will have a new show for you on Tuesday. I'll leave you with this quote from Robert Kennedy. Quote, "Each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current that can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance." Unquote. Thank you for hanging out with me for the last half hour. Stay safe out there. And as always, resist.
You wouldn't know it from watching the news. America is winning, and President Trump is making America great again.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Boo! You suck!